Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we are back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. Democratic state lawmakers today holding a press conference to bring back tax incentives specifically aimed at the advanced battery industry. Governor Snyder has called for the elimination and limitation of these kinds of loopholes, saying they're unfair and create an overly complicated system. To talk about the effort to bring these incentives back, I'm joined by Democratic State Representative Stacey Irwin Oaks. Welcome to the program, Representative Oaks.
Thank you for having me.
Now, I want to talk about one comment made by Mark Murray. He's the former state treasurer, now the head of the giant retail chain Meijer. He says that even though the MBT had a tax credit that was custom-made for his company, the governor's approach is, quote, simple, fair, and involves no special treatment. Isn't that, in fact, a step in the right direction to providing an attractive climate for businesses, including those involved in the advanced batteries?
If, in fact, that was true, that would be a fair statement, and it would be fair. But ultimately, we know that the advanced battery companies have a proven track record for job creation, and the incentives that they received in 2009 resulted in more than $3 billion in investments in this state and 6,600 Michigan jobs. I would agree that getting rid of the MBT was a good thing to do, as would most people. It was very confusing, very convoluted, even for the small business owner. But I think when it comes to tax credits, at the end of the day, most people want to see outcome-driven basis, and at this point, we can show that there have been outcomes. There have been 6,600 jobs produced throughout the state of Michigan.
It seems that every industry, including the film industry, is lobbying or wants to have their incentives restored, at least somewhat. If we're going to establish the incentives for advanced battery manufacturing, wouldn't then we have to consider incentives for all the other industries also?
Yes, and I think when you do that, you look at what has a proven track record. And when you can look at that proven track record, since 2009, there's no way you can deny that the advanced battery sector has proven that they can produce jobs and produce investments for the state of Michigan.
What about this new 6% flat tax? Isn't that saving these companies quite a lot of money?
It's saving these companies quite a lot of money with not one promise of a job. And I think historically we've seen that tax breaks don't ultimately turn into increased revenue or increased job creation. There's nothing within that flat tax that says that, you know, we will produce these jobs. These companies will in turn around and hire these amount of people. There's nothing that shows that. But we do know with this battery sector, there has been proven jobs and it has been proven reinvestment.
Well, were the jobs then tied directly to the incentives, or were they just a byproduct of these companies coming in and providing work?
No, these were tied directly to the incentive, and I think that's indeed the difference, and that's the difference that people want to see. They don't want to see people just receiving or companies receiving tax breaks or tax credits or any type of tax incentive, whether that be the flat 6% tax or some other vehicle. They want to see something that they can see, okay, if we do this, then these results can occur, or we can look at this industry and show that when we did give the tax incentives, they produced this type of investment in the state of Michigan.
I'm talking to Democratic State Representative from Saginaw, Stacey Irwin Oaks. Representative Oaks, I have to wonder, with the Republican lawmakers in full control and getting their way on every major issue, other than today's press conference, what can you and your Democratic colleagues really do to push an issue like this forward?
Part of just making people aware and pushing this issue forward, and we got to believe, dealing with the governor, who's an accountant, that at some point he'll be able to see the cost-benefit analysis and go, okay, well, let's take a bigger look at this. If we're, in fact, working in a bipartisan manner, which is what the community wants from the federal level on down to local level. They want to see us actually working together and not just voting along party lines.
You know, I've had Republican lawmakers on the program. I've asked them about the public perception that there's really no bipartisanship at the Capitol right now. They've insisted that other than the high-profile bills, both parties are working together quite well. Do you agree with that assessment?
To some extent, yes, to some extent. I would have to be able to agree with that assessment. But I believe Governor Snyder and the rest of the legislature have talked much about economic gardening and supporting thriving industries. And again, if we can point to the battery sector and say this is a thriving industry, let's say that, then I think they have to acknowledge that.
You know, we're heading into the fall. This is going to be a busy legislative time. And, you know, when we see party line votes on the budget, on the welfare bill, among other things, I have to ask you, how much debate is really happening? With the Democratic minority so small, isn't your opposition already accounted for and dismissed?
No, not totally. And it's not always. I mean, I voted, as some would say, on Republican legislation. I think, again, there are key individuals who recognize that the public is sick of the party line voting, and we have to vote with what makes sense. No, I can't agree with that assessment.
And when it comes to, let's take the welfare bill, for example, where essentially every single Democrat opposes it, what type of resistance happens in terms of the discussion and debate? Is there any point where there's anything you can really do as Democrats, or do you basically just voice your opposition and your vote and on to the next bill?
Well, by the time it gets to a vote, oftentimes there have been some changes, in some cases not significant enough to sway your vote to a yes vote. For example, I agree with welfare reform, but however, they made that piece of legislation retroactive, and I have a problem with that. If we're going to tell people that, you know, you're going to not receive the cash benefit and you need to get off welfare, give them the opportunity to prepare themselves. And in this economic environment, it's not enough just to say that somebody doesn't want to get a job. There's no job out there for them to obtain. So to make it retroactive and just pull the carpet away from under them, I think it's doing us a disservice.
The recall efforts of Republican lawmakers appear to have only succeeded in a single case, that of Representative Paul Scott, whose recall will be on the proposal, or the recall proposal will be on the ballot. Does this indicate, then, that the public support for a real, serious, wide-ranging recall against these Republican lawmakers is simply not there, and the opposition to their agenda really isn't there either?
Well, I don't think either party is taking responsibility for saying that they're part of the recall effort. The teachers' unions were very instrumental in Paul Scott's recall. There are about 9 to 10 Democrats who also have recalls against them, and the Republicans said they're not responsible for that. At the end of the day, you know, the public will have their opportunity to voice their opinion.
We've seen how Republicans ran the show last spring. How do you expect this legislative process to now proceed during the fall here?
Well, I think during the fall, we'll see more of those pet issues come up, whether it be feral swine, for example. That is some legislation that's going through, could not get voted out of the Agriculture Committee, which I sit on. It was discharged to the House floor with not enough votes to get it passed without coming to the other side of the aisle, requesting votes, because it's not a popular piece of legislation. It's opposed by everyone from Greenstone to the dairy producers to the pork producers. Basically, that legislation would regulate the hunting of Russian boar, feral swine, and agriculture is the second leading industry in this state, and it has to be protected. Unfortunately, that's not happening because that legislation was pushed through, but it still has to go to the Senate, and it also has to go to the governor. So this is the time to call your senators and call the governor and say, no, we don't want this to be a state that is involved in hunting of feral swine.
Democratic State Representative Stacey Irwin-Oaks, thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much.
Coming